We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bill Ryder, you know him as a CBS Sports NBA insider, CBS Sports HQ, and Ryder than You, 10 a.m. to noon every weekday on CBS Sports Radio. Bill, welcome to the show, bud.
What's up, guys?
Oh, just talking Cavs playoff basketball for the first time without LeBron since like 1997. How big of a deal is it, Bill, that they just clinched their first non-Bron playoff series since 97?
Well, I think it's significant, and the reason I think it's significant is not because it's a one-off or it's a random playoff appearance that'll lead to more misery and false hope, like maybe the Knicks have experienced in the past. I think you guys are legit. I don't want to speak maybe this is too broad a statement, but I'm probably one of the most bullish national guys on the Cavaliers this year and what they're building, so the fact that you've clinched it and that what you have is sustainable and I think going to trend upward and it's pretty high right now for me is really a big deal.
So I'm glad you said it that way, because just making the playoff series is one thing. Like, true post-LeBron validation is about being a threat in the East. So from your side, you know, I mean, we saw it with like Toronto after losing Kawhi and their ability to kind of sustain winning, even though it's been a little inconsistent there. What does post-LeBron organizational validation look like for Cleveland?
Well, I think it's what it looks like now. Look, I know you have to sort of get there, and I guess the answer to the question is what I expect to have happen. I think you're going to win an opening round playoff series. I don't think you're going to beat either Milwaukee or Boston. But I actually think you can. Like, I think if you made me pick a team that's not the Celtics or not the Bucks to make the NBA Finals out of the East, and I think it'll be one of those two teams, I would go with Cleveland. So it's win an opening round series or maybe even do more, right? Maybe even win a second round series or push one of those teams deep. But I think really it's this playoff series building toward actual sustainable competitive success in terms of being in contention to make, and if you make, win NBA Finals. And I guess the proof will be in the pudding, but I think that's what's coming.
Bill, in terms of who the Cavaliers face in the opening round series, is there a team that, if you're a Cavaliers fan, you'd rather face?
I mean, look, this is a very unpopular opinion in New York City, and maybe it's a wrong opinion, maybe it's not. I just don't believe in the New York Knicks. I don't think they are as good or as legitimate as people thought that they were going to be when they were on that win streak, and I think they're still in that five slot, right? I think it still would be you guys. That's who I want to face. But I don't know that it matters, right? Like, the Nets aren't particularly good, and the Heat, if they make some kind of run, don't worry me. I think any team that you're going to play that isn't the top two teams, you're better than, and that includes Philadelphia. And we can sort of get into all the reasons I doubt that team, and really that head coach and one of their stars in James Harden. But the long sort of winded answer to your question is no. I think a first-round team you're going to play, because it's not going to be Milwaukee or Boston. If I'm Cleveland, I'm bring all comers. Let's go. We got this.
Bill Ryder, Ryder than You, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports NBA insider on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, talking some Cavs here as they've clinched their first non-LeBron playoff series since the late 90s, which I just really am having fun saying. You know, you mentioned the Sixers. The Cavs are now two games back off Philly for the third seed. They've got the Cavs have six games left. Philly has eight games left, and they're on opposite ends of the remaining strength of schedule. Philly with the toughest remaining strength of schedule. The Cavs with the second least toughest. I don't know why that was so hard for me to say. Is the three seed gettable with this little time remaining?
Look, I think it is. I think it's unlikely. And I think the main part of the arithmetic here for me that makes it probable that Philly holds on to that three is Joel Embiid, whatever he says, is desperate to be the MVP. If he finishes second, I believe it'll be the third year in a row. I have a vote for this thing, so I'm tormented over it. And for me, it's a three-person race. It's Jokic, it's Embiid, and I could easily vote for Giannis number one. I think it's wide open. And I think Embiid is going to play every one of those eight games at the highest level that he can, especially the games against the Bucks and the game against Denver, because he's playing against his MVP rivals. And when a superstar, and Embiid is an absolute star, and I think he's a top three, clearly, player in the NBA right now, when he is motivated to play at his highest level over the course of those eight games, I just think it increases the likelihood of success. Now, that said, I actually like Harden's fit in Philly, but he's not been great in the postseason in big moments. And Doc Rivers, to me, is the biggest disaster in big games, in playoff games, in stressful games over the course of NBA history as a coach. And I know the next eight games aren't the playoffs, but it can kind of feel like it with everything that's on the line. So maybe there's a little brittleness that can creep out from the Sixers. I expect that more in the playoffs. So I think the Sixers played a pretty high level the next eight games. But, yeah, you know the math. Like, you guys win out and or come close, and Philly struggles against good teams, you could certainly get there.
All right, Bill, this is my get-off-my-lawn moment. You can stay on my lawn, Dusty can stay on my lawn, but everybody else has to get the hell off. Can I just get you on the same level with me? NBA playoff series, starting with round one, are too damn long. Agree or disagree?
Disagree. I mean, I love people on their lawn, so you yell and scream. And I mean, look, you're actually right. And I, as someone who has to travel for the NBA playoffs and is now, I guess, lazy, I would love the playoffs to last 4 days, right, because I'm over the travel. What I worry about is that if you make it a five-game series, that there's just the opportunity for a worse team to win when they shouldn't. I think, you know, you give me Milwaukee or Boston, they lose the opening game of an opening round playoff series, they're still going to win that series. You know, it's a best of five, maybe the variables shift a little bit.
LeBron James said he went to the LeBron James of foot doctors. Is there a Bill Ryder of foot doctors?
No, although I need the LeBron James of oblique doctors. I pull my oblique. I know. The hell? Look, it's so funny because LeBron saying that, I know everybody laughed and all the sycophantic media giggled at his comment. And look, I don't even know how LeBron is regarded in Cleveland. I know they hate him in Miami. I like LeBron. I don't love him. I like him. I really do. As a person, incredible athlete. I think he's the best player of all time. I don't need LeBron talking in the third person and like talking so about weird. That as the ultimate compliment of doctors, man. Like, LeBron, please don't regress to the LeBron egomaniac mode because you're feeling bad about your body.
Listen, I'm going to say is I've met the Nick Wilson of foot doctors. You do not want that guy working on your feet.
You wouldn't want the Bill Ryder of anything working on your body either. I can relate.
It's honestly like arguable whether people actually want the Nick Wilson of radio working on their radio airwaves. So I can only take it from there.
Give me the Jesus of foot doctors.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, save your foot.
He'll save your foot.
And your soul.
That's
Look
right.
At that.
Yeah, it's a twofer.
Or a BOGO. You never know really how they're going to position that. So because we're talking about the Lakers here, they are the 9 seed right now. If LeBron can come back and play in the postseason, what chance do you give the Lakers to make any sort of run?
So I want the answer to be not much of one, because I don't think that they're particularly well constructed. I don't think Anthony Davis is reliable from a health perspective. And I understand why LeBron is playing through an injury that the first two doctors told him he should have surgery on. I respect the competitive spirit, but that's not a good situation. So all that adds up to this being a pretty bad, not bad, not a formidable team. But guys, I look at the West. I don't believe in a single team in the Western Conference with any serious level of confidence. So I suppose in theory, I actually kind of like Memphis, but I guess in theory, if the Lakers get in and they click, because I do like the moves they've made, I know in that organization they feel really good about their trade deadline changes and recalibrations, D'Lo, you know, sort of top of that, but not obviously not just him. I think they could win a series, which would be, I think, a shocking overaccomplishment. But to me, that's where it ends. I think LeBron's old, and I know Anthony Davis just can't and doesn't stay healthy. That is his history.
So the Mavericks just, again, appear to be a bit of a mess right now because Luke is not happy playing the game. Kyrie's getting fans ejected from the game.
Kyrie just isn't happy.
Kyrie's never happy. But What do you make of this Maverick situation? Will anything happen with them? Can they make a push in the postseason?
So I love the Bill. I have all these Bill Parcells quotes that I love. One of them is, people tell you who they are, listen. And Kyrie Irving, for lack of a more sort of polite, smooth, charming way to say it, I think is a loser. I do. Like, outside of that experience in Cleveland, and he hit that shot, and I got it, I get it, and, you know, but he was on a LeBron team. Literally, since he left Cleveland, Ohio, since he forced his way out of a championship winning and level team, almost every season, I crunched these numbers the other night, when he has been on the floor in Boston, in Brooklyn, and now in Dallas, his teams have been worse when he has played than when he has not played. And it's a sample size of more than 150 games. So, no, I don't think the Mavericks are going to do much of anything. I don't think it's a coincidence that they're, 3-8 when Luka and Kyrie play together. Doncic certainly indicated there are things beyond basketball that are affecting him, but he didn't rule out basketball. It is not fun to play with Kyrie Irving. It seems like it would be, but it tends not to be successful. Their defense has tanked, and I know that some of the metrics say that Kyrie's great, but he's always great individually. It never works in a team dynamic. I think that Dallas was doomed the minute they brought Kyrie Irving in.
Bill, and we are talking with Bill Ryder, CBS Sports, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm going to circle back to the Cavs for 1 second, because there has been a, we'll call it a friendly disagreement, although at points it has not been friendly, on the show about the Cavs as a future potential title team. And so I'll frame it this way. Of the current roster, their current core four, who has to be the best player on a hypothetical Cavs championship team for them to actually reach that level?
Wow, that's a great question. So I think a lot of things have to happen, and I think they can, by the way. That's why I'm so bullish on them. I love, and maybe it's like a weird sporting man crush, but I love Evan Mobley's game and like the ceiling that he can get to. And I know Darius Garland's a stud and a star, but for the time being, I think it's the next 2 or 3 years, I think the answer to your question is Donovan Mitchell. For me, and I'm a Mitchell guy, and I know he's not had success in the postseason in Utah the level that he wants, but a guy that can get 60 for me, and a guy that, and this is so critical in the playoffs, I think can not just go and get his own shot. We know he can do that. I think when he's on, offensively alone, I think he can win you a game or two in a playoff series. For me, I need the entire Cavs team to raise his level, and I think they will. I mean, they're the best or second, they're the second best defensive team in the game. Some of those young guys, just a little bit more of a level. But if that happens and Donovan Mitchell's plays like a top 10 player a couple times per series, and I think he can, to me, that's the X factor.
Bill, want to wrap with this and get your
whose
thoughts.
Whose side was I on? Who was I? Did I agree with anybody?
You know,
I sound like a contentious one.
You were on Team Nicky Dubs there.
Yeah, that's why I'm moving on.
We appreciate you.
That's why I'm moving on.
Got it.
So the hot topic of the day, nationally and locally, whatever you want to call it, was the NCAA tournament yesterday. Darian Trammell, San Diego State, gets fouled with about a second on the clock. Goes to the line, hits one free throw, they win the game. Was it a foul?
I thought it was on first viewing. It's the exact opposite response I had to the Chiefs. And I didn't grow up there, but like, cover the Chiefs. My kid's a Chiefs fan, so I'm partial to the Chiefs. I thought it was the exact same thing of the Chiefs in reverse. When I saw it in real time, I thought it was a foul. When I watched the replay 50 times in a row, I thought it was too ticky-tacky to call, even if by the letter of the law, it's a foul. So I thought, I didn't love the call, even though in the moment I understood it.
Bill, you are a superstar. You've got more jobs than Seacrest, and we appreciate the hell out of you, buddy. Great to hear from you.
I love being on in Cleveland, guys. Thanks. Have a good show.
The call at the end of the Creighton game with, 1.2 seconds left, which pretty much helped decide the fate of this game. San Diego State moving on to the Final Four this weekend. Creighton going home. And this is one of the rare times where I absolutely understand both sides of the argument, but I think the nuance is what really matters here. So to start, there was a foul called at roughly the end of regulation.
It was about 1.7 seconds, yeah. 1.5 seconds, something like that.
Which gave San Diego State free throws, which they took and then won the game because of that.
Yeah, it was an interesting call. It was San Diego State's point guard, Darian Trammell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid, I forget the kid from Creighton who fouled him.
It's Nembhard, right?
Yep, I think you're right. Ends up fouling him. He grabs, like, his waist.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly prevented him from, you know, making the shot, but it's still going to be a tough shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Like, I saw Twitter like going crazy last night about this call, and I just thought to myself, like, I think it was a foul.
So I think if you go, you know, like what Bill was talking about, the letter of the law, it is a foul.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to me, like, when people are like, well, but it's situationally, it's not a foul. Honestly, that's one of the biggest problems with just basketball, is that people have talked themselves into it's. And by the way, it's the same thing of, well, LeBron gets this call, but TJ Warren doesn't. That's ludicrous. But the reality is that does happen. I guess the way I would look at it is the biggest thing I want in a game is how is the game being officiated evenly? Meaning, if you swallowed your whistle for 40-plus minutes, in the final 2 minutes, all of a sudden you're on that whistle hard. Like, what are we doing here, right? And I actually kind of feel like that's what happened in this instance. My bigger issue is the entirety of the game, they've said, you got to turn on your mic, buddy.
Sorry, dude. I watched a lot of that game, and it seemed like it was pretty physical basketball.
Yeah, and they were allowing a lot.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, where I totally understand the frustration from Creighton's side of things. And, I mean, we had kind of a call recently in a Cavs game where it was, you know, refs had kind of let the game play out, and then in the final 2 minutes they started calling things they hadn't called.
Yeah.
So I just, to me, it was a foul. I think they got the call right. But I guess, you know, I think I've just gotten to a point where everybody complains about refereeing.
Yes.
Whether it's fair or not. Because whether it's the NBA or whether it's college basketball, there's just a subpar, actually that's a below par quality of officiating. So we just walk into games with a negative mindset on officiating. So when they have bad games, it's predetermined. It's rigged. It's not good officiating. And by the way, these are completely fair criticisms to have, because in both the NBA and in college basketball, officiating has never been worse. That being said, the bigger issue is not, is it a foul, is it not a foul? The bigger issue is, why the hell is it a foul there, and it probably wasn't?
I just feel like this goes back almost to the Super Bowl too, like the holding call, right? At the end of the game it was on Juju. And people were like, you can't call that there.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that take.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. And guess what? We all wanted to see overtime.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation. Or at least see Philly get another chance. Whatever. Yeah. Right? Not it be a walk off like that situation.
Yeah.
In this game, the Creighton game in San Diego State, it was such a great game. Like, I think everyone just wanted more basketball.
Yeah. Well, I think that really complicates evaluating what's wrong with basketball. The idea of our own personal want in the matter of
yes.
We wanted more basketball interfering with what's the right call. And I think the bottom line is, if it's a foul, it's a foul. And if you don't like the letter of the law, then petition it to be changed. I mean, granted, there's been one dude that I've seen have such a problem with a call that he actually gets rules changed. It was actually Sean Payton in the pass interference call that cost him the chance to go to the Super Bowl.
And we all know why it got changed.
Yeah. But like, and by the way, I also disagree with the idea of that's why they lost. That's one of the reasons why they lost. It's the reason, but like, you were up, it was a single possession game into the final 5 minutes.
Yeah.
There were three or four other moments just within the final 2 moments, the final 2 minutes you can get to, that were as impactful to that call. I really hate that idea of, well, you can't call it because it's going to impact the outcome of the game. If you don't call it, you're impacting the outcome of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So either way you impact, whether it's free points or not free points, and the idea that that should be the decision-making actually really pisses me off, because it happens all the time in the NBA. Well, we didn't call it because we didn't want to end up on the two-minute report. Well, you're going to end up on the two-minute report because they're going to say it should have been a call.
Like, I saw somebody tweet, maybe it was Gottlieb, it was some NBA or college analyst who said, on any park, you know, you're in Harlem, you're playing with your boys outside at whatever, Rucker Park, that's not a foul. In this situation?
Yeah. By the way, that's such a bogus-ass take.
No, but I get it.
Because because they're not. It's not evenly officiated. You're acting like a game at Rucker Park. It's like, all right, we're going to call it down the middle here. Dudes be about calls all the time. Oh, that's a foul. There's a foul. BS that oh, if you and your dudes were playing. Oh, I hate
dude,
that.
When I play with my boys, I don't play hoops really much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I would play it, you know, pick up hoops, I like never called fouls.
I feel like you are the...
The anomaly?
Yeah. I feel like dudes call more fouls in pickup games than you would actually have called.
I mean, there are dudes.
If you're calling fouls
like that in pickup games, you're weak sauce.
I guarantee you. I've not played a lot of pickup basketball in the last 10 years, but there's a stretch of a decade where me and my best friend would go down to the parks across from the church in Cuyahoga Falls and play. And we'd anybody that was there, we'd challenge them. That makes sound so melodramatic. We'd ask them if they wanted to play.
We would challenge them.
We'd challenge them to a duel, of course. Dudes call the dumbest thing. Oh, you put your hand on my back. Oh, you were too close. You were in my landing zone. That was...
call a landing zone foul on the playground...
The problem is, dudes like to talk about pickup basketball... Like most dudes aren't absolute bees. But when you get out there, like go watch the YMCA sometime. Go watch it. You know what you're going to see? See a bunch of dudes who really wish they could have played in college, who act like it is, like this is, they're going to make up for not being a good enough basketball player in high school by dominating the YMCA. I feel like we're working through some stuff.
No, here. I don't know. Ken Carmen just sent me a text about our conversation.
Which one?
About the fouls. Ken says, I never called fouls mostly because I hacked the bleep out of everyone else.
Oh, no, you have to.
Well, yeah. If I'm not calling fouls, then I'm hacking the bleep out of you.
Oh, yeah. And then when you get... the other part of this is... I've never seen... Okay, pickup game. I've never seen two people come to blows over a foul. I've seen them come to blow... over whether it was a foul or not. That's what, like, dudes literally clothesline each other. Not a problem. Ticky-tack fouls led to more fist fights than absolute just butchering somebody with your hands. 216-474-0092. Creighton, in the eyes of some, gets cost a chance at the Final Four because of a late call. Was it a foul or not? So here's where I land. I think it was a foul. So I think the call on the floor was right. Where they got it wrong is they shouldn't have called that because they weren't calling it for the rest of the game. That's where the failure is. Now, Creighton could have shot the ball better. Creighton could have played better defense. You can in every game, it didn't just come down to that one play.
Yep.
And conversely, if they had reversed that, or if you had said, you know what, we looked at it, didn't they review it for like 4 minutes.
It was a while.
Yeah. And if they had come back and said, actually, we're going to wave it off.
I think they reviewed it for the time on the clock.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right.
I don't think they were looking at it was it a foul? Yeah.
But if they had reversed it just after talking in the scrum, not even like an official review, if they had reversed it, it would have been a bigger problem. That to me is much more, oh, no, you got screwed because you called it and then you just decided for some reason, like, it's a foul, it's not a foul. What are we doing here? That, I think, is the bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
Call a consistent game. And I don't understand, because, like, to me, like, individual calls, Dustin, it's always a judgment call.
Always.
Like, who is the rules official on the game?
Oh, it's Gene Steratore.
He had the phrase that drives me crazy. It's a judgment call. They're all judgment calls. The whole game's a friggin' judgment call. But individual calls getting blown, It's human. Like you have to accept the human element of whether something is a foul call or not, right? Like officials, you could give them all the technology. Hell, you could bring robots. Robots aren't going to be perfect. Like no, there's no point where officiating will ever be perfect. But the one thing you can be is consistent, and that's what pisses me off about it. Is they weren't consistent. Let's go with John. John, welcome to the show. Call foul or no foul?
Absolutely, it's a foul. I am a high school basketball coach, and I've had my fair share of run-ins with officials. So I've been on both sides of it. But if you look at number one, how he grabbed the jersey, kind of the hip pocket area, and the shot that was a runner missed left, and that's the way he was pushing him in that direction. And secondly, what hasn't been talked about a lot is the fact that the Creighton defense allowed the ball handler to get to the paint and get downhill. That's just a terrible job of defense in the last final seconds. That is a foul. And San Diego State deserved to win that game.
All right, what do you think about the overall idea of that being a foul anyway?
By the way, San Diego State did give that game almost away.
Oh, yeah. They both almost gave the game away about seven times.
Towards the basket was basically an assist.
John, so to the letter of the law, I agree with you. They got it right. Should that be a foul, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I think if the contact happens when the guy is in the air and it takes him off plane, yes, that's a foul.
So that's kind of the gray area, and I thank you for the call. To the letter of the law, it was a foul. I just don't like that they probably wouldn't have called it 7 minutes before in the flow of the game. Also, to the letter of the law, getting beyond that, those to me are gray area fouls. Like how can you prove, and this is the problem with officiating, why it's a human thing, how can you prove how much somebody moved somebody off their course of their shot? Like, if that was a landing, okay, you're in their personal space, right. You're landing. Okay, that one's easy. Were you within a foot or whatever it is? Did you allow them to land safely? That's easy.
What are we supposed to do, though?
He just has his hand on you. Like, what? How many frames per second do you need to move? Like, I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.